Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I know you.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
See, I don't even know your name.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Usual Suspects continuing to roll on as we have quite the jam-packed show. First 2 hours have been just action-packed, and we've got an hour still to go.
Flew by.
No doubt about it. Props to Tracy McGrady going into the Hall of Fame tonight as part of the 2017 class. Some people question. And by the way, former Houston Comet Rebecca Lobo, too. That's
pretty cool. Oh, hey, well, there you go.
Let's not forget that. But weird time for Hall of Fame induction ceremony for basketball. Right in the middle of opening weekend of football. With no basketball games in sight.
Yeah, that is. Well, they're just trying to get some shine.
Well, shine on. So, T-Mac, congratulations. Fort Worth, Jay, we appreciate you calling back because we had a couple interviews and things to get to, but you want to talk about Barry's nasty tonsil nuggets.
First of all, y'all are killing me, man. But I didn't even know there was a name for them. I used to ask my mama what they were because they smell so god-awful.
Thank you, Jay.
That's the crazy part.
Yep.
There's this girl that I grew up with since kindergarten. The prettiest girl you've ever seen, man. I swear, her and her sister. But her breath always smelled like tonsil stones.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Elementary school, junior high school, college, grown. And she's so pretty. And I was like, our homeboy, Dita, you used to go with her. And we was like, bro, you telling us you don't smell that? He was like, no, man. I said, bro, you can smell. You ever been sitting in front of somebody in class and they talk and the breath comes around?
Yes.
Your face to the front and like gets in your eyes and your nose?
Yep.
That's what our breath was like.
Dude.
And bro, and literally when I caught one of the things up in junior high and I smelled, I was like, damn, this smells just like so-and-so. So you don't want to smell it. If you haven't smelled it not by now, I say smell it once just so you'll know not to ever smell it again.
Okay.
But
yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's what I'm going to do. Jay, I'm going to get this thing this weekend because I've got one. I'll smell it. I'm going to smell it. And
wait
then
a minute. Wait, what do you mean you have one? Like you saved one?
See, Jay,
I've got one in my throat that I've got to get it because they don't just fall out. You got to get it out. It's a whole process.
Mine falls out.
Well, you're weird. I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
No, normally like you cough them out or like the way you feel it. It's on the edge of coming out. And this is the most disgusting conversation I've ever
had. It really is. It really is. Look.
He's throwing up right now.
He's gagging.
The only reason I know exactly what y'all are talking about, and it just made me laugh because I just talked to her like 4 days ago on the phone, and I swear I smelled it.
Well, see, you could talk to her because she was on the phone. If she was in person, you couldn't have handled it.
Jay, appreciate the call, man. Have a good weekend.
Dude, I'm serious. Okay, so here's the thing. That's when, when you get a girl like that, it's when you carry Altoids like you carry your wallet. You don't leave home without it.
See, that's where it was in my throat. I took that picture. That's on Instagram.
That looks like something else, but that's nasty.
Yeah. Well, this is what they look like when I'm going to tweet these pictures out. By the way, so if you at Barry is funny, if you want to see what I'm talking about, that's what it comes out. That's why I say they don't just fall out. I had to get
that's a legitimate real one that you took a picture of?
Yeah, that's the one that was in my old house. But
dude, you got boulders. Mine aren't
I told you they're huge.
Yeah, mine aren't that big.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna tweet these out. If you want to go at Barry is funny if you have no idea what I'm talking about. It's it ain't pretty, but it's
so if you go
true.
To the web though, it does explain that there's different variations. Maybe there's different variations of them, because like I said, I can't say it. I had you say it. It sounds like I'm Sylvester the Cat. Yeah. Tonsilothith. Or tonsil stones.
You're adding the lisp to it. It's just L-I-T-H-S. No, lisps.
No, it's L-O-L-I-T-H-S.
Yeah, but the ending, you're adding a lisp. You don't need to add
low
a lisp.
Lisp.
It's going to make you lisp low anyways.
Tonsil low lisp. Say it. Or tonsil stones. But the description is dead on the same thing. I mean, it says little globs of mucus, dead cells,
don't
debris, and bacteria
that
people a lot of times are so embarrassed about that they keep low profile. They don't want to talk about, but they suffer in silence, believing that it's nothing more than last night's dinner, like you said. But there actually is a technical medical term for
it. Mandy said Barry needs to bring it in a Ziploc so y'all can compare.
Negative.
No,
I'm going to bring it up for you guys. Good job, Mandy. I agree.
And then when you open that Ziploc bag, the whiff you're going to get, it's like someone had bad gas.
Everyone is still saying how horrible they smell.
They
All
do.
Right.
I'm telling
right.
you.
I'm going to have to smell it this weekend. See how bad it is.
Oh, you love the descriptions on this web page, though.
Uh-huh.
They usually appear as little chunks of cauliflower and smell like they could wake up your dead grandma.
Good Lord.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
They look like, to me, they look like little, like they look like crack. Honestly, they look like crack rocks. I'll, like I said, that very is funny. I'm going to tweet this out. I'm going to do the side-by-side, the one where it was in my throat before I took it out, and then after they all came out. But you'll see the difference because it's just like a little turtle head poking out of the tonsil.
And then I'm not touching that.
And then when you get them out, oh, God, they're gross.
I'm
so gross.
You, man. And hey, we've uncovered something that it says here on the web.
Dude,
it's something that people are embarrassed
that's
about.
That's right.
We're putting it out there
I'm
for you
trendsetter.
People.
I'm a trendsetter. I'm healing the nation.
See, Nick,
one
now,
tonsil,
it's not a, now it's not we anymore. It's
one tonsil.
All...
Yeah, because I'm the one that brought it up, Joel. You guys, you have them.
Me
you
I
have them,
thing.
But you were too embarrassed
no,
to talk about
No, I've already identified that. I know I've identified them. Well, I just can't say the damn name.
We're saving people one tonsil at a time. I feel that way.
Harry, look. You want to talk about tonsil stones?
It's Barry.
Yeah.
I can't read that.
I'm calling the show. It's Barry. Barry, what's up?
Barry, what's up?
Hey, this is Barry.
Yeah, what's up, Barry?
I still have my tonsils, and I'm 65 years old. I have never heard of tonsil stones.
Google it, man.
Yeah.
They're terrible. I still have my tonsils. I never had them taken out. Not fun, I'll tell you that.
Now, some people on social media have said if you get your tonsils removed, you get rid of them.
Maybe I need to do that.
Well, I know I've had a swallowing disorder from time to time, but no tonsil stones.
Well, man, right. Google it. See, it's not pretty.
Thanks for the call, Barry. Appreciate it. Byron, you want to get in here? Doo-doo balls?
Yeah, man, if you always just use the term that most people use, we call them doo-doo balls where I'm from.
Why are they doo-doo balls? That's the wrong end, Byron.
Man, those things smell like doo-doo.
But you admit they exist, right?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they're nasty.
I'm definitely going to smell this thing this weekend.
I think everybody would know what you're talking about if we just called them that.
Okay.
Doo-doo balls. I've never heard that. Okay.
He just had a problem with our description. That's all.
Barry just uses a Q-tip to get the doo-doo balls out of his mouth.
Yeah, I'm working on this right now. Ugh, God, this is so gross just looking at it.
Appreciate the call, Brian. All right, we got college football to talk about, too,
Let's
by the
it.
Way. Before we get to NFL, we've got college, and there's some big games. This is what I like. Unlike years past, man, 2 weeks in a row, quality games to talk about, quality games to watch on the docket. The only thing we talked about that has been a drawback is the injuries that are popping up. But, man, another good set of games this weekend to keep you occupied in college football.
Yeah, good. I need it. I haven't had a chance to watch that much college football this year. So I'm looking forward to a Saturday on the couch watching nothing but college football and then switching over on Sunday, obviously, to some NFL action. I'm pumped, man. I'm excited. There's some good games, too. I mean, you got Auburn facing number 3 Clemson, number 5 Oklahoma taking on number 2 Ohio State, 14 that West Coast game, 14 Stanford taking on number 6 USC, number 15 Georgia taking on number 24 Notre Dame.
Yep,
lot of good games actually to sit down and watch if you can get them, or if you've got packages to watch, or if you stream illegally like Nick does. There's all kind of
negative. Do not do that.
I heard Dell saying how he watches games illegally as I'm driving in. I was like, he didn't learn anything from Nick. You don't admit that on the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you don't have guys on other shows to call him out to make sure they remind the fact
That's
that
right.
he did it. You're, of all the games on the list, which one are you looking forward to most?
Honestly, I think it's the big one that everyone's looking forward to, the Ohio State-Oklahoma game. But as an SEC guy, because I'm a Aggie fan, the Auburn game intrigues me, that Auburn-Clemson game.
Auburn's a sneaky pick.
I'm not sure about Auburn. I don't know what to think about
them. A lot of people
are
pushing them to the top of the list by the end of the year.
That defensive front is really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're going to see what kind of offense Clemson has now, you know what I mean, with Kelly Bryant. He threw for 313 yards, but against who?
Right.
So we're going to find out a lot more about both in this game. I don't know if who do you have? If you're picking the game, who do you have? What's the line? I think Clemson -5.
And again, you think about it, it's at Clemson,
at home,
right?
Yeah.
So they're getting points because they're at home. It's almost a pick 'em game. I was impressed by the kid last week with taking over for Deshaun. My gut feeling says Clemson at home is going to win. But I think, like I said, I'm hoping it's a great game. But if I had to pick one, I would definitely take Clemson. Where are you going?
I'm going Clemson as well. I mean, I feel like that team, they're more complete. I think Auburn has some questions on offense. I think that defense is really good, but they've got some questions on offense. So, Clemson, I think, could be in it again at the end of the year. They're loaded, so we'll see.
No doubt. Nick, who you got?
I'll pick Clemson as well. I mean, I think both quarterbacks did a decent job in their debuts. I think there's no question that both teams are going to run the ball. I think Clemson will do a little bit better. I give the slight edge to Clemson.
See, like, and for every reason, being a Big Ten guy, I want Ohio State to lose Saturday night.
Right.
But because I want OU Mike to suffer, I've thought about changing my pick because I'm looking forward to that game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think. A lot of people think, you know, Ohio State won last year. Now they're at home. They're going to win again this year. I think, man, Baker Mayfield and company are going to come in and put it right on Ohio State from the get-go. They better be ready. Ohio State didn't look ready last week for a lot of that game. I would, if I'm going to pick a game just on gut feeling alone, I think Oklahoma's going to beat Ohio State this week.
Do you? Didn't they lose, what's the cornerback's name?
For
Parker for OU. I don't know how big of a loss that is for them, but, I mean, when you've got Ohio State's ability to throw the ball with JT Barrett he put up three touchdowns in the previous game.
He's a consistent throwing quarterback.
You really? You're not a JT Barrett guy?
I'm not a JT Barrett guy, but I'm picking Oklahoma.
Mayfield is legit though. We know
no
that.
Question.
I mean, he's
That's
a Heisman
why.
Trophy candidate.
Yep.
Just
don't let him out drinking.
291 yards rushing last week for Ohio State.
But against Oklahoma, who can clog it up, they're going to give you some quality defensive linemen. So
you're going Oklahoma.
I'm going Oklahoma.
I think I'm going Ohio State. I'm going to go Ohio State. Nick, what you got?
I'm going to go with Ohio State as well. They've got a real young coach in Oklahoma. I think the last time they faced each other
last year.
Yeah.
Ohio State was actually a relatively young team. It was actually, when you compare the two rosters, they were a little bit more inexperienced, and yet they got the W. I just think this is, I mean, the one thing that Oklahoma has on their side is that their 11-game winning streak going into this game, if that matters anything to you, you know, through the offseason going into this game, but I'm still going to pick Ohio State.
Okay. What was the final score last year? It was
45-20 something.
Yeah, it wasn't
or
close.
48-20 something.
Yeah, it was like an ass whooping. So I don't know that that's going to happen again this year, even though they are at home now. Ohio State is. We'll see though. It surprised me that the odds in this game are higher for Ohio State as far as, you know, Clemson is a 5-point favorite over Auburn, who's 13th in the nation. Ohio State's 7.5-point favorite over OU, who's, what, 5th in the nation?
Yeah.
Well, pretty
that's
shocking that it would be that much.
Because, it sucks if we're all on the same page anyway, which we never are.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, I think Baker Mayfield as the more experienced and more accurate passer is going to play into this.
Okay. But 7.5 points.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we'll see. Who you got? I mean, we don't have to break down because I know we're up against it. Georgia, Notre Dame, number 15, Georgia versus number 24, Notre Dame. Who you got?
I'm still going to take Georgia, but losing their quarterback, and even though he's a 5-star recruit, a real true freshman quarterback at Notre Dame, it's going to show and tell me a lot about the kid going forward. But I think from an overall talent perspective, I'll take Georgia over Notre Dame. Is Nick Chubb playing in that game?
He is, I do believe, yeah.
Nick Chubb could be a difference maker.
Yeah.
Who you got, Nick?
I'm going to pick Georgia, too. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I tend to think when they do well, it's good for college football, but I don't think they have what it takes. So real quick, I'll pick Georgia.
I'm going to take Notre Dame.
Really?
Yep. I think they get the job done.
And then the Stanford-USC game. I'll tell you what, Sam Darnold, talking about quarterbacks, there's the guy everybody's eyes are on, but that's going to be two teams that can run the hell out of the football.
Who you got?
I'm going to take SC at home, because if they have to pass it, I'll take Sam Darnold. But, boy, watch Ronald Jones II. Dude,
yeah.
Dude has got some slippery hips.
Stanford's gonna surprise some folks, but I'll take USC at home.
Right. Me too.
Who you got,
USC.
Nick? USC?
Yep.
All right. There's some college football for you. We'll be back with a whole lot more, including our picks on the NFL weekend and Jake Kaplan of the Chronicle, who covers your Houston Astros. Don't go anywhere. More of the Usual Suspects in just minutes on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah! Yeah! It's a lot of tickets in the club tonight. What? What? But it's going to be all right. Yeah!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects in the final hour of power before we turn it over to the weekend crew of college and pro football. Oh, by the way, and then the Blitz is coming up at 4 with Fred, AJ, and John. But we have been knee-deep in
tonsil stones.
A lot of goodness for the Houston area, too, as we continue to give you guys information that hopefully can help in terms of recovering from Hurricane Harvey. And Nick, I think you...
Yeah, that's right. We've been telling you about the Houston Food Bank. So for those of you out there, here's another way... A great way to help and serve your community. Houston radio stations are teaming up today to raise funds for the Houston Food Bank. All funds raised will stay local and nourish our community, providing food and supplies to those who need it most. Go to HoustonFoodBank.org/Houston Radio and make a monetary donation today. HoustonFoodBank.org/Houston Radio. Heal, help, rebuild.
Well done, sir. Definitely do your part if you can. Everybody's been doing their part. I mean, yeah. I don't even have to, it goes without mentioning or saying, because of the fact that everyone's been doing whatever they can to try and make a difference and help rebuild what's been torn down by this awful storm.
What was the name of the Jaguars beat writer that we
Ryan
had?
Ryan O'Halloran.
Ryan. Yep. Nick Collins said, man, I'll tell you what, I'm not even a Jaguars fan, but listening to that guy makes me feel bad for that team.
I swear. He really depressed me for the Jacksonville fan base. Like, it was just like, wow. But this is kind of a team that always looks better and better on paper every year going into the NFL season. Oh, Jacksonville looks kind of scary, and then they win 3-4.
That's why I was
wins.
Really hesitant when I did it, like, because I'm trying something different this year. We'll see how well it goes as far as predicting, because I mean, there's one thing to just go by, oh well, last year the Chiefs were 12-4.
Yeah,
the Chiefs are going to be good again, so you can do that, sure. And game one, they look like it, right? They look like a 12-4 team out there. But then I'm trying some other things to help aid in my analysis. We'll see how it goes. I mean, you know.
Eye test, baby. Eye test. Eye
test. Well, okay, so there is obviously the eye test involved, but, you know.
Hey, I know we got a full show today, but before we get back into Astros and Jake Kaplan coming up, we at least have to mention the awful letter that Kevin Sumlin received this week of hate mail. I believe it was his daughter or his wife actually posted it on the wife posted it. The daughter commented on it, but they received a letter addressed to Kevin Sumlin that had a return address traced to the Houston Country Club, but used the N-word. Basically said, "You suck as a coach. You're an N-word and can't win. Please get lost or else."
That's just.
I mean, it's sports, people. It's sports. It is not life and death. It is not that serious. And that is uncalled for and ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. And you know, like you said, it's sports. And I heard the great point that Sean and John made on the show before us was they were talking about that. They got sent to his house.
Yeah.
That's what's more disturbing.
Not the university.
No, to his house. And that's now you're involving his family, even, you know, I just I don't understand what goes through people's. It's one thing when we do the show and when you do radio and people say, hey, you suck at radio and you can't make picks and whatever. That's one thing, right? That's just opinions and we all have them.
Right.
And you may not like my opinion or vice versa as a listener, right?
Right.
But when you start making veiled threats of death
and racial
and
comments.
Racial slurs because of a sport, you cross over into a line of ignorance that's just there's I don't even have to come on here and say this. It almost just feels like a hot take to just have to come on here and say how deplorable this letter is. But it happened, and we have to speak on it. But I think it goes without saying that it's despicable.
It is despicable. I mean, and they need help, serious help. And here's the thing. The letter had a return address that corresponds to the Houston Country Club. Now, they say the authorities are going to do everything in their power to try and find out who this person is. But you know as well as I do, you can put any return address that you wanted on that envelope. But I was referencing his daughter because his daughter, a current student at A&M, commented on Twitter by saying, imagine being a kid and reading this BS about your dad. Things, quote-unquote, fans say get taken personal by more than just the coach. Humanity isn't hard.
Jeez.
That's well said because that's ridiculous that he, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels contrite to come on here and be like, and just have to talk about how terrible that is. It's obviously terrible.
And the only thing that's worse than that are the people that are out there saying that this is an A&M cover-up for the fact that they're trying to deflect heat on Kevin Sumlin. I saw that last night on Twitter, and I was like, come on, people, really?
There's a big difference between not liking him as a coach and then just being a racist
or
a-hole.
People from within trying to set this up as a deflection so that he doesn't have to deal with it. Come on, man.
Look, this isn't a naggy joke, but they ain't that smart. All right? They're just not that okay. smart to
and
orchestrate something like that.
There's a big difference between doing something like this or not taking calls on the Kevin Sumlin show. Let's be real.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Yeah. So on the Kevin Sumlin show, which can be heard on this very radio station, they had technical difficulties, couldn't take calls this week. Now that I can see as being
at the
something
end of the football season,
that they can set up and
if
do.
The Jags have the first pick in the draft, we are not taking any calls until it's over.
Oh, but that text message line's going to be red hot. Stay tuned. We got a lot more to talk about right here on The Usual Suspects. Coming up next, Jake Kaplan, the beat writer for the Houston Astros for the Houston Chronicle, will join us and talk about the Strohs as we get down to the final stretch of baseball season. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. As a good show keeps getting better, we have been jam-packed wall-to-wall with all kinds of sports and stuff. And right now, we get better because Jake Kaplan of the Houston Chronicle is going to join us for a few minutes. He is on the road with the team as the beat writer for your Houston Astros. Jake, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Welcome here. First question for you. We've been talking about it a lot. I know the team has talked about the fact that, you know, winning the division and when it's going to happen and all those different things. And we've been debating here on the show a lot. But how focused and important is it from inside that clubhouse that they end up with the best record in the American League?
You know, I'm sure it's really important. They haven't. It's not something they've talked about much in the media or publicly in interviews. More of that's been based. You know, basically talking about the magic number of nine and getting the division out of the way. And I'm sure once they do that, they'll talk more publicly about, you know, the home field advantage aspect of it. But it's definitely a huge factor. Yeah, everyone knows that it's no secret, especially in a year like this when the difference between home field advantage and the number two seed is facing Chris Sale twice in a five-game series or, you know, Sonny Gray or Tanaka or from the Yankees or whoever wins that wild card game. That's a huge difference. You don't want to be facing Chris Sale twice in a five-game short series like that. So more so than the home field aspect of it, I think it's the seeding and who they're and the matchup. But, you know, it's definitely in play that the Indians overtake them at this point. They're I would argue the Indians might be the best team in baseball. They have the best run differential. They've won 15 straight. They're four starters deep, and they're still missing guys. So it should be an interesting last few weeks. And you know, it adds more intrigue when they have something to play for down the road, down the stretch rather. You know, earlier in the year it looked like they'd run away with it, and that's obviously not the case.
Speaking of attitudes in the clubhouse, I'm curious, before the trade deadline, the Astros didn't get anything done. Dallas Keuchel comes out and says he was disappointed. Reddit comes out later and says it. Have you noticed a difference in attitude since they added Justin Verlander, or did you even notice it after the trade deadline came and went? Is that something that's changed a little bit in the last week or so?
Definitely. It's hard to quantify, but it definitely, not only trading for Verlander, but getting Carlos Correa back in the same, two-day span.
Yeah.
Has been a big boost. You know, Dallas Keuchel was talking about that after his last start on Monday, and he said everyone and their dog can see it. So that's a quote I've never gotten before. But they definitely have more energy. I think it feels kind of like May when they had their best month, had that 11-game winning streak. It kind of has similar vibes to that, just with a few different guys between Verlander and Cameron Maybin and you know, a few other new faces in there.
Speaking of Maybin, I posed this question to Jeff Blum, and he was kind of politically correct in it, but I'll ask you, with Maybin's addition and as hot as he has been, what does it do for Jake Marisnyk, and how does that whole situation play out? Because Jake's having a nice year, but boy, you can't get much hotter than what Maybin's been since he's been an Astro.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and something we're going to have to start thinking about more, but I think that'll play itself out over the next 3 weeks. I mean, as hot as Maybin's been, it's only 16 at bats, and you kind of have to look at the whole season over a week stretch, less than a week stretch, really. And part of the reason Maybin's gotten those at bats are because Marisnyk's had a little minor groin injury that he should return from today or tomorrow. So, you know, I think that's an interesting position battle. I mean, there's still a chance both could be on the playoff roster. You know, you can never really have enough speed off the bench or defensive replacements off the bench in the playoffs. So, but no, it's definitely a legitimate question. And like I said, I think performance over the final 20 something games will dictate that.
You've watched enough baseball this year. Is Jose Altuve winning the American League MVP?
Tell me what numbers he finishes with.
Well,
and
yeah.
What numbers Mike Trout finishes with. I think right now he's the front runner. I don't think there's much of a doubt there. But, you know, Mike Trout, even with missing 6 weeks in the middle of the summer, is right there. He's making up ground really quickly. I think he's walked in like 15 straight games or something. He just, even when he's not getting pitched to, he produces. So I think it's going to come down to those two. Kind of a dark horse is Jose Ramirez from the Indians, who's never talked about, but is one of the best players in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I think like last year it came down to September 2, where Altuve was probably the front runner going into the month and had a bad month, and Trout and Betts both passed him. So I think right now Altuve is the front runner, but you know, I can't really predict how he's going to play in the next 4 weeks and how Trout and Ramirez and even Corey Kluber are going to perform in the next 3 weeks.
Let's talk pitching for a second, Jake. We're with Jake Kaplan, by the way, beat writer for the Astros for the Houston Chronicle. Look, everybody's been kicking it around. We know that, you know, Fires has been everybody's hot button, no pun intended, and they want to push him out and you know, not only to the bullpen but off the playoff roster. But that playoff roster, from a pitching perspective, is going to be jam-packed, and I'm wondering, is Fires, Liriano, or Clippard, are any of them on the playoff roster from a pitching perspective?
I don't think Fires is. I think the other two have chances just because they need someone who can get lefties out. Now, whether Liriano can do that is the question. You know, in his short sample with the Astros, you know, moving from the starting role with the Blue Jays to the left-handed specialist role with the Astros, he hasn't been good. More recently, his velocity has been up a little bit. His sliders look a little bit better. So I think they're going to give him the next 3 weeks to win that spot. I don't think it's a definite he wins it. I think they're going to take the seven or eight best relievers. But and Clippard with his changeup, you know, is good against lefties. I think he's got a shot also. But, you know, at some point you can only carry seven or eight guys. So there's definitely a competition there. I think Francis Martes is another guy who could find himself an odd man out. you know, all of a sudden their bullpen looks a lot stronger than it did a month ago, mostly because of Joe Musgrove, moving there and dominating, Chris Davinsky getting back to form, and now, you know, I would assume Brad Peacock is the next guy to go over there in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What are the chances of Peacock getting a sniff in that rotation in the playoffs? But I guess you got to decide between McHugh and Morton in that regard. Do you think that they go with a 4-man rotation in the playoffs, or do they try to spread it out enough to stick with 3?
I think they go 4 just because, you know, Keuchel's recent health issues, McCullers kind of similar boat. I don't think they want to pitch those guys in short rest. If they don't have to. And with Verlander, it kind of allows you to stretch it out a little bit more. I think probably Morton and McHugh are going to battle for that last spot. I would probably give Morton the edge up right now. But, you know, there's still a few 4 or 5 starts to go for each of those guys. And, yeah, I think Peacock just, you know, he's been really effective in both roles. He's shown that he can be a reliever, which unfortunately hurts his case for the rotation. And he's been a liability third time through lineups when he has started. You know, the numbers, he's dominant the first time through. He's pretty good the second time through. And then it seems like his command, his stuff kind of falls off a little bit, that 80 to 85 pitch mark. So I think that can be, he can be a really valuable weapon in the bullpen in the postseason. And so I think, you know, sooner rather than later, you'll probably see him start to transition back to that role.
Jake, we know you're busy. We know we got a game tonight, so we appreciate you spending some time with us. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back as the get into the playoff run.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.
There you go. Jake Kaplan of your Houston Chronicle, who covers the Houston Astros on a daily basis. Good stuff right there.
Yeah.
So we'll
I wanted to ask him who he had in the Texans game, though. I always like to throw that little curveball, no pun intended, to the baseball guys and see if they follow football at all.
Okay.
See what he would have said. We'll get him next time.
And next time I'll look at you and then
yeah, that
get the signals right. I'll get my Apple Watch and we'll start stealing signals. So we got one segment to go, so we're going to do some NFL picks. We're going to do games and our predictions for the year.
And we also have to answer Ike's question before the show is over, what makes a good husband?
Good Lord, that thing's been lingering.
We're going to get that out of the way first and then do our picks.
That has been like a tonsil stone.
It's
going to
be a 30-second lightning
week.
Round. The tonsil stone of the show.
Jeez. All right, well, we got one segment to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. Still plenty to cover right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
From Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, the cold frozen.
Oh, man, we got a bunch to get to.
I love that music. All right, this is the NFL segment as we get ready to get into the weekend. First weekend of NFL, so we got lots to do. We got picks. We have
real quick. Let's get Ike's question out of the way. Let's do it right now.
Yep.
What makes a good husband?
What makes a good husband? What's your answer?
Listen.
I was going to say the same thing.
And listen.
I would definitely say though, be there. Be there for your kids. Be there for your wife. That makes you a good man.
Be there for your cats.
Be there for your cats. Yeah.
I'm not married, but let her win more arguments than you do. Like let her win the bulk of the arguments.
Win arguments is a good one.
That's good too. Yeah, but the main thing is listen, don't listen, and then try and fix. Just listen. Sometimes they just want you to listen.
Great point.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we got lots to get to NFL-wise. First, we're going to go through our picks for the year.
No, I thought we were doing Nick's picks first. Okay. Yeah, let's do Nick's picks first, and then
we're
if we have
Nick's
time.
Nick's picks first, so to refresh your memory, Nick picks 5 games that he wants to talk or that he wants us to talk about and pick real quick, and then all 3 of us will pick them, and we'll keep a running tally. So, Nick, game 1 on the agenda is?
It would be Raiders-Titans.
At Tennessee.
Yep, and the reason why I picked this game, these are 2 quarterbacks that dealt with like similar season-ending surgeries. So, it's kind of both teams have high expectations. I forgot what the line is. I got to look
at it. 2.5.
2.5.
Titans are favored at home by 2.5 over the Raiders.
Titans at home, and it's at, what is it, a noon game? Yes, yeah, Sunday at noon.
I could see this. I'll take it because I could see this being a team that in years that everybody's high on that could fall a little bit. But I still think doing the Texans a favor, I think the Raiders will beat Tennessee.
I have Oakland as well.
Okay.
Pretty high on them this
Oakland,
year.
Oakland, huh?
What? No.
At least for one more.
My bad, yeah.
And Nick, who you got? Raiders, Titans?
I'm going to go with Raiders. I think Derek Carr, that is, will get over his injury and lead this team.
You guys are tight, you and Derek, so you can call him that. Yeah. All right, next game.
Next game, Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers. Very interested to see what Joel has to say, because I think Joel picked every game for the Packers last season.
That's not shocking, is it?
No,
Packers
that's why we're keeping track this year.
I'm also going to let you guys know that this game scares me, that I'm not as confident in my team as everyone else seems to be. But at home, I'm still going to take the Packers.
I'm taking Green Bay as well.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's shocking.
I don't want to, but, I mean, you got to pick smart as well. The line's only 3, so that'll tell you something. I'll still take Aaron Rodgers at home.
A lot of people say this is a preview of the NFC Championship game.
Could be. We'll
Nick, who you got?
-3 for the Packers. I'm going to pick the Packers. I think they'll do. At home in Lambeau Field, that's
tough.
I hope
y'all are right.
So a clean sweep, huh?
No
hating on Joel. All right, I guess.
Game 3, Nick.
All right, Eagles, Redskins, what do y'all think?
I'll tell you what. I have never been sold on Kirk Cousins and or Daniel Snyder and all the ways that the Redskins do business. I think the Eagles are a sneaky good team in the NFC. I'll take Philly on the road at FedEx Field.
Give me the Redskins at home.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Nick?
I'm going to go with the Redskins. I feel like this is the only 2 seasons that they've had winning seasons in a really long time. There's a little bit of momentum that sides with the Redskins. I'm going to pick the Redskins.
Okay. Word.
You guys are wrong. Next.
All right. 4th game, the Giants and the Cowboys. That will be in Dallas.
Sunday night football in Big D. Barry, where are you going?
You know, it's funny because everybody's high on the Giants this year, it feels
they
like.
Are.
And the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a letdown for both a little bit.
People are picking the Cowboys to fall.
Yeah, I'm not as high on either one of these teams. It wouldn't surprise me if the Eagles or the Redskins end up winning the division. But this division as a whole, I mean, from a quality perspective, They're all quality teams. Yep. In this particular game, though, with Dallas at home, Ezekiel Elliott is playing. I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah, OBJ is 50-50 for the Giants, by the way, if that sways your decision. But I'll take the Cowboys at home as well because, quite simply, Ezekiel Elliott's going to put on a show. And you think it's not going to be to the magnitude of JJ and what's going to happen with all the hurricane relief fired-up crowd. But that crowd's going to be jacked up for Zeke and the Cowboys on Sunday.
You know,
night.
If Zeke wasn't playing, I'd actually probably still pick the Cowboys.
Would you?
Really?
Yeah, I just have that much confidence in their O-line. They proved it last season, so I'm going to pick the Cowboys.
All right.
All right, final
last
game.
One. Yep.
NRG, your Houston Texans versus the Jaguars. Didn't even look at the line.
The line is
5.5.
5.
I just don't think the Texans lose this game. Simply, like we said, the momentum, the crowd, everything on their side. They've won 6 in a row against Jacksonville and Blake Bortles. So I'll take Houston.
You know, logic would tell you if I pick the Jags to be a wild card
upset,
team,
Barry.
Then I got to pick the Jags to win this game.
Yeah.
But I just, no. I'm going to go Texans at home.
I'm going to go with the Texans at home, too. Okay. I'm not feeling this Jaguars team too much.
But the thing is this is one of those years where, you know, the Jags, if they can take care of the Texans at home and the Colts at home and the Titans at home, that's 3 wins right there, and I think they could do it. We'll see. We'll find out.
I'm not a math major, but you're a stat guy. Those are 3 wins right there if they pull them out. So you're right. And let's finish. We had said we were going to do this before the end of the week, so we've got our seasonal awards throughout the NFL. So if we're prepared to do that real quickly,
let's go MVP. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
I would agree with that. Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Coach
of the year.
Mike McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Bruce Arizona.
Arians. Bruce Arians? I changed my pick last night. I took Andy Reid.
Did you?
I mean, seriously, last night's changed so many people so many different ways. But who's Pittsburgh's coach again?
What?
Why can't I think of this?
Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin. I'm taking Mike Tomlin, coach of the year.
Okay.
All right. Offensive player of the year. I got David Johnson of the Cardinals.
I tend to say pick a Steeler, but I'll go Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell. I got David Johnson. Who you got, Nick?
Christian McCaffrey. No, I'm just kidding.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
No, I'd probably go with like a Steeler, like an Antonio Brown or a Julio Jones. To give you an official pick, I'll say Julio Jones.
Okay.
Okay. Of the Falcons. Not
yeah.
Defensive player of the year.
Khalil Mack.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa.
Okay.
I'm going to go with J.J. Watt.
Wow.
Homer pick.
Okay. Yep.
What about your offensive rookie of the year?
I'm going to say what Nick said for the other one, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
That's, me too.
I'm going,
I think that makes the most sense.
Leonard Fournette.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
It would make sense. It would have to help. Right?
Yeah. Then you should have picked the Jaguars this weekend.
Maybe.
Defensive rookie of the year.
Jamal Adams.
Okay.
Look out.
Okay. I was going to say my pick was Myles Garrett, but he's out 2 weeks.
Yeah.
My sleeper, T.J. Watt.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you for making that pick. What you got, Nick?
I don't know, man. I'd go defensive rookie of the year. Joey Bosa? He's not a rookie. He's a sophomore, right?
Yep.
I don't really have one, man.
All right. Comeback player of the year. Is it unanimous that it's J.J. Watt?
It's J.J. Watt. And if it's not, it's beast mode.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch.
Okay.
I picked him as a defensive
player. All right. Well, we're running out of time, so real quickly, do you want to do division winners or do you just want to talk Super Bowl?
We can. I did sleepers and clunkers. My sleepers are the Chargers and the Buccaneers, and my clunkers are the Raiders and the Cowboys.
Okay. So my division winners, I've got Steelers, Patriots, Raiders, and Titans in the AFC with the Chargers and the Jags
Titans
as your wild card.
As your division winner, huh?
Yeah, yeah, okay. With the Chargers and Jags running the wild card. The NFC, I've got Falcons, Cardinals, Packers, Eagles with the Vikings and the Seahawks in the wild card. Super Bowl, Steelers beat the Falcons. Who you got? Super Bowl.
Super Bowl right now, I got Patriots, Packers, and I've got the Packers.
Oh,
winning.
Jesus. Who you got, Nick, in the Super Bowl? Who's winning? Who's beating who?
I'll say Patriots, Packers, just to...
Not the Jaguars?
Disgusting. I picked Falcons initially on Bear, but I told them I want to do more thinking about it, but I'll say Patriots, Packers.
And who's winning?
Probably the Patriots. Okay. Sorry.
All right, good. Well, at least you didn't pick the Packers.
Sorry, Joel.
Well, I thought you were picking the Jags to go all the way.
No, they lose in the first round to the Raiders.
All right, well, there you go for another spirited and exciting week of The Usual Suspects. Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., you can find us right here at the same dial position every single day of the week. So please join us next week, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Have a great weekend. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.